Good morning. It's good to see everybody. It seems quiet in here. Maybe it's a church building. I don't know. Would you pray with me before we get started? Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we are so thankful for today, and we're so thankful for this family that comes together, and we pray your blessings upon us, and we pray that you allow us to continue to shine your light in Snyder and beyond. And Father, I pray that you be with us this morning, and I pray that you help us to look at our hearts, and that you help us to look at your scripture and remove the doubts that we have about who you are and what you've done for us. And Father, this morning I just ask that you be with us, that you continue to bless us. We love you and we thank you for what Jesus did on the cross for us. It's in his name we pray. Amen. According to my family, I have this uncanny ability to remember things that really don't matter much. I don't know. I've been doing it for years, and I'll always bring up things at different times, and usually they don't matter. But something has stuck in my head, and it's been stuck there for quite some time. And I'm not going to retell a story of any politics or anything like that for the past week or anything like that. I'm not going to do that. But I watched this movie. It was a long time ago. And I watched this movie. And in this movie, it was about a bunch of different people. But I remember this politician in this movie. Politician that had gotten a lot of power. And boy, he used that power to do some really horrible things and manipulate people. And at the end of the movie, right before justice was about to be given to him, he said one thing, and it's just stuck in my head. And I thought, you know, there's a sermon in there somewhere. And when you look at the things of today and you look at society today, he said this. He said, "The truth is what I say it is." Do we see that? We see people today telling us something similar. We'll tell you what the truth is. We'll tell you what we want you to believe. We'll tell you what we want you to know. And so we see kind of this playing out. And so through some of my readings of the last couple of weeks, and that for some reason, that just kept coming out to me. The truth is, what I say it is, you see the things that are happening in government, and you see different things playing out like that, and you're just like, they're telling us what they think the truth is, and they have come to believe, and they've come to doubt to the point to where that's their truth. And you can get to that point in your life to where you can believe something so much that you can believe that that is truth. And all it takes to discover that little bit of truth is, or the truth that's not there to get there, is doubt. The planting of doubt, there's got to be something there to make you doubt what is happening and what's going on. You know, in Genesis chapter 3, I want to start in Genesis because when I look around and I see our lives and I think about all of us, that's all Satan really has to do. That's all he really has to do for us is to plant just a little bit of doubt, doesn't he? Plant a little bit of doubt as to who we are, as to who Christ is, as to who God is, the power that they have. He's just got to plant that little bit of seed of doubt. Has anybody ever done that to you, planted just a little bit of seed of doubt? And over that, you start thinking and you start overthinking. You think, well, before too long, you've completely changed any kind of direction you were going. You've completely changed any kind of thought just because that little seed of doubt was planted in you. The devil was saying, "The truth is what I say it is," to Adam and Eve in the garden, or to Eve. And he planted just a little bit of doubt. And it wasn't, he didn't make her sin. You think about that for a second. He didn't make her sin. He made her doubt what God had said. That's all he had to do. All he had to do was drop just a little bit of a doubt to make her doubt that God said not to eat of that tree. Genesis chapter 3, starting in verse 1, says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from the tree, any tree in the garden?' Is that what God said? Hang on. Verse 2, the woman said to the serpent, We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die. He put a little bit of doubt in there, didn't he? Then in his language, the serpent, Satan, did God really say? Did somebody really say something to you? There's things that create doubt. You must not eat from any tree in the garden. And then what did Eve do? She turns around and she told him, this is what God said. She specifically said, God did say this. He didn't say about any tree. He said this tree. He was specific. And she told him. And he says this. Boy, he was really going after her, wasn't he? He says this in verse 4. You will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Dropping that little bit of doubt, wasn't he? Surely you're not going to die. Dropping the little bit of doubt. Because you're going to become like God. That sounded really good to Eve, didn't it? Sounded like something she really wanted. And that's what doubt does. It makes us change our minds. She knew exactly what God said. She knew exactly what God meant. He didn't mix words up. He was specific. Don't eat of that tree, but you can eat of any other tree. But all he had to do was create just a little bit of doubt. And what happened? She doubted what God had said. She doubted his words, and the rest is history, really. You and I get to pay. We've paid for those sins, and we've had the sin came into the world. They were banished from the garden, and we've been living in and out of sin since then. Sin always there, creeping around on us, looking at us. Always have the ability and be tempted to sin or to not sin. But also we have the ability to believe God's words or doubt God's words. She doubted, and we saw what happened. Satan thought he was extremely powerful. Satan had scored a win, hadn't he? Satan had scored a win for himself and for the powers of evil, for what was going to become hell for him. His place where he's going to dwell. He was so powerful, in fact, he thought he would try his hand at our Savior. See, he didn't have to do anything but create a little bit of doubt. A little bit of doubt in Jesus' mind when we see, we're going to look in Matthew chapter 4 in just a minute. In Jesus, where he was going to make, try to get a little bit of doubt, going to try to get to him. What's he going to try to make him doubt? Let's look at it real quick. I think he's going to try to make him doubt something specific as to who he was, his nature, his deity, so to speak. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, he says this. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell those stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus answered him with Scripture. He answered him with Deuteronomy, didn't he? He answered him from Scripture. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Well, even the devil knows Scripture, doesn't he? Jesus answered him, verse 7. He said, it is also written, do not put the Lord God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan. For it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him and angels came and attended him. What was it? Satan going against Jesus, going against God in flesh. What was it he's trying to get him to do? Satan have him to have the ability to give the Creator his creation back? He didn't have that ability. But he had the ability to try, starting with food. The one thing, being human after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, saying, look, how about some bread? You can bake this, you can turn this stone into bread. Satan was trying his hardest to get Jesus to doubt who he was, to doubt his deity. He was the Creator. And Satan had come at him to get him to doubt. It's like he went to Adam and Eve. Just like he comes to you and to me in our dark times to get us to doubt who we follow, who our Savior is, who God our Creator is. That's his job. And sometimes all it takes is just a little bit of a crack. And if he's going to go after Jesus, you can bet he's going to come after you and he's going to come after me. Day in, day out. The things that we see, the things that we hear, the abilities that we have now to sin, I think are greater. We have still, you can access anything you want from the palm of your hand if you have a smartphone. Ability to sin. Well, it's just a phone. Yeah, but what can you get to at that phone? Oh, it won't hurt just to take a little look. It's there. And that's his job. And that's what he wants to do. He wants to come at each of us. Create just a little bit of a doubt. And say, well, it'll be okay if I just do this, or it'll be okay if I just do that. Before too long, his persistence. Look at how he was with Jesus. He was persistent. He kept after him. He knew he wasn't going to get him. That's what he does with you and I. He's persistent. He comes after us. He comes after our weak points. Just enough to create a little bit of doubt. I want to talk about our doubts this morning. I've talked about them up to this point, but I want to talk about the things that we can know and the things that we can be certain of. I want to end a lesson on doubting for sure, because there's so much more that we have in Scripture, so much more that we can walk out of here and we can say, you know what, we can face Him because we know where we're going. We can face Him. Not saying we're not going to stumble. We can face Him and know without a doubt that God is who He says He is, that Christ is who He says He is, and that we have eternal hope, just like they both say. Let us be without doubt as we walk as conquering people. Conquering people walk upright. Conquering people don't walk with their eyes to the ground. When I was overseas in Estonia one time, I remember walking. I remember this elderly lady. She was conquered, completely beaten by the Russians. They had a law. Estonians had to walk like this. They couldn't look in the Russian's face. She would walk to the grocery store. When I saw her, she was walking with her grocery bags. Head down, fast. Because she grew up in a time where she was oppressed. And she knew that she was beaten. Folks, we're not beaten. We're not conquered. We have the one that has conquered for us. John chapter 14. I'm going to start there. I started off with, the truth is what I say it is. Jesus lets us know He is the truth. In John chapter 14, starting in verse 6, Jesus says this. He says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. No one is going to go to God and get to God except through Him, because He is the truth. Why see that? What does that automatically tell you? If He is the truth, that automatically eliminates all other truths, doesn't it? It automatically eliminates all other truths. It automatically eliminates all other ways and all other lives. He is the truth and the way and the life. Jesus tells His disciples of this. He does it, I think, to eliminate doubt at some point, because some point they're going to come and they're going to come into contact with people that are going to say, you know what? That's not right. But Jesus is letting them know He is the truth. He's letting us know He is the truth. And no other truths are out there, scripturally speaking. Eternal life speaking. The society tells us you can take whatever path you want. Many religions tell us you can take whatever path you want, and they all end up back there at the same place. All these different roads, like a road map. That's a lie. That's a lie, and that's something that we don't see harmonized with Scripture. Jesus was telling His disciples that there are going to be people coming after Him that are going to claim to be the truth, can claim that their message is going to be truth, but it is not. In John chapter 20, turn with me there. I'm going to go from John, and I'm going to go into 1 John. John chapter 20. Verses 30 and 31 says, Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of His disciples, which are not recorded in this book. So there's a lot of things that He did that John decided not to record, right? John didn't record everything. But he did say why he recorded these. In verse 31, he said, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. John wrote about these to eliminate doubt. To eliminate doubt in the lives of Christians, about the lives of his people that were going to come later. Eliminating doubt. He wrote these things so that you and I have the opportunity to believe in Jesus' name and have eternal life. And it's not just enough to believe that. How powerful is it to know that? In 1 John chapter 5, verses 13 through 15, he says this. He says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. John's the only author that tells us why he writes his books. How great is it to know that we have eternal life? When you know something, I was teaching Bible class this morning, and we were adding up Exodus, and we were adding up the when they left and kind of getting a date. And I told the kids, I said, look, numbers do a lot of things, but one thing they will never do is lie. Numbers lie. When you know your numbers and you can know and you can be assured when you do the math right, it's solid, isn't it? No matter what. Jesus. Those who believe in Him can know that we have eternal life. It eliminates doubt. John has gone through here and he has eliminated doubt for you and for me. Jesus is the truth. Not only is He the truth, we can believe in Him. And then we can know that we have eternal life. Eliminating doubt from our life. Eliminating the doubt from our life allows us to walk this world and walk this or walk throughout this town as conquering people. Not as people that have been conquered. Not as people who walk around and go through this world doubtful. You ever run across people who have a lot of doubt in their life? They can never make a decision. They can never do anything. They're all very indecisive. And so He eliminates that doubt for us. It's what God has done. It's what Jesus has done. Know that we can have eternal life in His name. When we look at the world today, people say that there are many truths about religion, about anything, really. A And a lot of people have adopted that saying that I said earlier, the truth is what I say it is. Our kids are facing that. Our kids are facing this day in and day out. What's true and what's not. But the truth is what God says it is. What His Word says it is. And I can guarantee you Satan is going to come at us with everything but truth. Day in and day out. But we have the opportunity day in and day out to eliminate that doubt that he places upon us. Right here. We have that opportunity right here to eliminate all doubt about God, about His plan, about our eternal life. This morning, if you're here and if you would like to eliminate that doubt, if you have prayers for our elders, or if you'd like to place Christ on in baptism, would you come while Walter leads us in the song?